Hello, my name is Doobie, and you are tuned in to the Laughing Place podcast at 82.50.123.19. I don't know if that's true.
I got that on my dial. Preset number 4.
Thanks for tuning in today. As always, I am joined by my lovely, talented, skilled, and absolutely professional top-notch panel, starting with Fanboy.
Hi. Where are they?
Yeah. I don't think they showed up, you know.
Rebecca.
Hello.
That's my wife. Captain John.
Ahoy.
And as I said, my...
And the skipper, too.
My name is Marianne, and podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408, or post on the discussion boards. Last week, we asked for your input on what would be a good event at Walt Disney World, a special separate ticketed event, kind of like Halloween, Not So Scary, or Very Merry Christmas, or the Pirate and Princess Party. We'd love your input on that. A theme, a time of year, a park. We've gotten some input already. We'd like some more before we talk about it probably next week. So get that to us at podcast11place.com, 866-718-9408, or post it on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Let's jump into the water here. It was not the busiest of news weeks in the world of Disney this
really?
Week. So I think the biggest story was... I think the biggest announcement last week was this week was the Dancing with the Stars lineup that just came out today, starring who's going to be in it? What Disney people? The Cheetah Chick?
Yeah, Sabrina. Yeah. She's Cheetalicious.
Cheetalicious. Anybody else?
Marie Osmond does all those dolls.
She's in it?
Yeah. Oh, and I think that, you know, she had to cancel her candlelight processional appearance, and I think maybe it was because she had to sign on to do
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Well, she's my favorite.
Yeah, she's going to do a little bit of country this year.
Really? Because I really appreciate it when she does a little bit of rap. Anyway, so that being the biggest Disney news, we're not going to talk news this week. We're going to go deep into the vault for some non-news topics. So we call this the...
Don't close the door behind you.
The Laughing Place Vault.
The Evergreen Podcast. You can listen to it now. You can listen to it in a month. It'll have the same relevance to your life.
Zero.
So let's get started with... Jason Punk, one cool name, from Edison, New Jersey, wrote us asking our opinion of something you'd like to discuss in our Armchair Imagineering segment. It's kind of Armchair Imagineering, kind of not, but we'll let Jason explain it. Rebecca, what did Jason ask us?
Laughing Place crew, love the podcast and especially appreciate your casual style. I have a question for the crew and especially the financial wizardry of Fanboy. Boy, does he have him full.
I've seen his bank book.
Oh, that's harsh. I'm not sure where my question fits.
What bank book?
Possibly you can use this in the Imagineering segment. I've just returned from a visit to Tokyo Disney Resort and Tokyo Disney Sea.
And boy, are his arms tired.
Man, I'm jealous. As an AP holder for Walt Disney World and Disneyland, wow, Jason travels a lot. Annual pass holder for Disney World, Disneyland, and just got back from Tokyo. That's cool.
And he invented the phonograph.
That's true, Edison, New Jersey. Okay, I was floored and amazed at the detail and quality of this park. The outstanding service from the cast members, the level of detail and overall quality of the attractions is unsurpassed elsewhere in the Disney Empire. I won't even touch on the expense and show quality that is The Legend of Mythica and Bravissimo. Is it possible to achieve this level of quality, show, detail, and cast member service in a stateside park? What prevents the Americas from getting a park of this stature? Keep in mind that DCA was built during the approximate time frame as Disney Sea. Are the issues purely financial, or are there other factors at play that prevent the U.S. from receiving a park of similar quality? As a side note, if you've ever wondered what would happen if you took the majesty and improvements in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom and addressed all the criticisms levied by Disneylanders, you'd get Tokyo Disneyland, save for World Bazaar. Similar to the Magic Kingdom in design, with Snow White's Grotto, a proper Toontown, and Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, New Orleans Square, and Disneyland's Pirates. It's bizarro Disneyland for sure. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jason. You sound a little different than I would have.
I loved Tokyo Disneyland. I visited it in the early 90s, and loved it.
At the time, you'd been to both. How did you think it compared to Disneyland or Magic Kingdom? Do you think it far surpassed it in any way, or just pretty much, what'd you think?
I remember the park being incredibly crowded. In fact, I think I only made it on 3 rides. I think the shortest line I was in was for pizza for lunch. and I think everything else, I waited about 2 hours at least. And I went on Big Thunder and Star Tours. And I saw One Man's Dream, which that was strange because only in that. You know what struck me was that everybody was Japanese. And I know that's silly, but when you see Alice in Wonderland, you know, dancing down the street in her blonde wig, but she's clearly a Japanese girl, that was, and I don't know if they still cast that way. I know that there have a lot of Americans heading over to the parks now in, like, you know, some sort of program or whatever, so I don't know if they don't have that happening as much, but I remember that, and I remember a lot of people taking my picture because I think I was the only blonde in the park that day. I didn't see any others that were, you know, unless they were Disney characters.
Now, both DCA and DisneySea opened in 2001, and that was early on in the LaughingPlace.com discussion board days, and that pretty much was the discussion, was how come we're not getting DisneySea? How come DCA is such a piece of whatever, and Tokyo gets DisneySea? Fanboy, the financial wizard that you are, the guru of what happens inside the Mouse House, to us lay people, why did we get DCA when they got DisneySea?
Because they charge a lot more and have a lot more people visit. Don't forget, Tokyo Disneyland is not owned by Disney. It's owned by Oriental Land Company, a private Japanese business. So they don't have public disclosure to the extent that the Walt Disney Company does. But they charge more. The ticket is more expensive. They're able to sell more merchandise because the culture has more of an affinity for that across their age ranges. So they can sell limited edition Disney pearls for God knows amounts of money.
Do they go oompa, oompa, oyster?
No, that's at Tokyo SeaWorld.
Okay.
that's Opa.
Opa?
Yeah.
Oompa, oompa would be something
oompa,
else entirely.
Oompa, yeah.
Okay.
Oompa, yeah,
oompa, doopity, oyster.
Go on.
Not quite sure I should. And so that's basically what it comes down to. And, you know, I don't blame DCA on the money. I think that's a very short-sighted comment. They spent $1.4 billion on that expansion, which was more than Epcot. Obviously, it was years later.
Real quick, did that $1.4 billion include Downtown Disney and the hotel as
they
well?
They include the entire resort expansion. I think they spent about $800 million, about the cost of Animal Kingdom, on California Adventure. So, you know, and I think most people would say Animal Kingdom is the superior park. Granted, Disneyland didn't have the space that Animal Kingdom would require. All of the Disneyland Resort can fit inside.
The Tree of Life.
Oh, wow.
Originally that was going to be a Lion King. Never mind. We can go through all the press release cliches of Disney's Animal Kingdom another day.
747.
I think that's where it comes to. I mean, they're willing to spend more money. You don't have – there's more passion for it. You don't have people at Disneyland lining up 4 hours before the parade. You don't have a two-hour line to get a fast pass. It's you're talking two different worlds, and I really dislike the comparison between DCA and DisneySea because you're comparing apples and oranges. If you want to compare Tokyo Disneyland to Disneyland or Tokyo Disneyland to the Magic Kingdom, at least you're talking about two comparable stories. They were trying something completely different from DCA when they built DisneySea.
Well, I mean, it depends on how much DisneySea cost to build, in a sense.
What, do you remember what number?
It was in the $4 to $5 billion. And then, but then, you know, you're also talking about another situation you have, though, is that you can get more for your buck over there, because especially when it comes to entertainment, because they don't have the entertainment unions and the support, and the performers don't cost nearly as much over there as they do here. Granted, they do import a lot of Americans, and that does cost money, but the scale is completely different because it's a different market. Just like you can't compare why do telenovelas not do well in the United States. It's a different kind of audience.
Now, they did spend that much money there, and I know some of the talk back then was Disney couldn't take that kind of risk. And it would be a risk because who knows? DCA, even if they spent $2 billion, may have been a problem. OLC, it's had some issues since then.
Right, and the park is underperforming. If let's say you took three DCAs, would you get – I mean, and just took – if you said you could spend three times as much on DCA, would Tokyo DisneySea live up to that? I mean, you're talking about the most expensive Disney theme park. And well, granted, it's a nice park. It does have flaws, just like, I mean, all the parks do. And Disney as a publicly traded American company, could not spend that kind of money without having a revolt. The theme park business, in terms of Disney, has very little leeway to spend money. It's because it's all about return on invested capital as well as margin growth when it comes to operating costs. And right now you're seeing a stasis. And by no means am I saying that Disney is not spending money, because I think they're just as bloated as they've ever been right now. I mean, just some of the things they're talking about. And I'm not saying that's bloated might not necessarily be the best way to run the business, but some of those things are necessary to make Disney Disney. But you cannot tell me that Disney's not spending money on cast development and new attractions and things like that, because they are. It just might not be all at once. And, you know, in regards to the service question, right now Disney's service challenges, I mean, if you take the best cast member, you know, even the top 10%, there's nobody else like that in the service industry as far as I'm concerned. But Disney World is the largest single-site employer in the country. You don't – in the world, I think. And you just – there's not enough people here in Central Florida to have everyone be that Disney level. And I know Disney's working on it and trying to get him up there, but that's hard. In Orange County, you're trying to have people have a career on a service industry salary. It's very, very difficult. And it's not like Disney can just suddenly say give everybody a 10% raise because their employee base is so large. That would severely affect their bottom line, and Bob Iger would be gone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't mean to get on my little soapbox, but I mean your Tokyo Disneyland is not Disneyland. Tokyo Disneyland is not DCA. It's its own park, and we should appreciate the fact, you know, everyone always talks about, I don't want Disneyland to turn to Walt Disney World. I don't want Walt Disney World to turn to Disneyland. Why? You know, so sometimes this debate seems a little unforgiving, just because, you know, we're trying to compare two movies. I mean, if you can't compare Independence Day to Babe.
No comparison.
I mean, you know, they're two different types of experiences.
Quick question. You mentioned that if they tried to spend that kind of money on DCA, there'd be a shareholder revolt. What was the reaction with the announcement of Disneyland Paris as opposed to when it actually opened in terms of the shareholders?
Well, there was some interesting financing going on there, which in turn ended up biting him in the butt. So it was a good idea. Obviously, Spain was the right choice. But now that affects the whole scheme. I mean, if DCA, if the board of directors knew DCA was going to be a change in the industry as much as Disneyland was, they probably could have justified building a $5 billion park. But I don't think they could. Because they're not even building it. There was no way DCA was going to eclipse Disneyland, and that's why they went with the wet route they did. Now they've just approved basically another $1 billion, but that's all. I mean, I know they wanted more, but they can't function that way. There's not enough money. And I know Walt did all sorts of things but that was when, first of all, Disneyland was separate. It wasn't part of the Walt Disney Company. Walt Disney Company didn't let them, Walt Disney Productions didn't let them build Disneyland because of the risk involved. And we're not in that world. And especially with the Pixar acquisition costing what it did, there's not that capital right now. But I bet you, if you look at where, excluding entertainment, if you look at 20 years from now where DCA is and where Tokyo Disney Sea is, you're not going to see as much of a gap.
The thing that I find interesting in the whole discussion as far as timetable goes is DCA opened in February of 2001, and we had 9/11 only a few months later.
Oh, wow. Disney Sea opened on September 4th, didn't it?
Right,
9/11 happened a week later. Wow.
Right? And remember, all the executives just came back from the opening. Cynthia Harris just came back to Disneyland. And, I mean, it was a big deal. And could you imagine because you got to look at everything with the context where the company was struggling as it was. Mm-hmm. They already did a workforce reduction, so to speak, and they were trying to just get by. And then 9/11 happened and really started to crumble. Now, granted, there were some management decisions that you could criticize, and
exactly.
I would criticize with you as well. But the boondoggle of having all this debt mm-hmm. from building a $5 billion theme park would have
sunk the company. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just an interesting thought. If they'd have decided to go ahead and take that risk, let's go ahead and make an incredible investment, would they have been able to have stayed afloat long enough to recover from what could have happened? And now you're looking at them making a decision later on. They're being asked, we need to put more money into DCA. Well, you've got to think that in the back of their mind is, well, what if, I mean, it kind of in some ways showed just how volatile to an extent the whole industry can be.
Right.
And I don't think DCA's biggest problem was the money. I think it was how they spent it.
I was just going to say that. Right. I mean, as much as we want to complain or people want to complain about only spending $800 million, especially when another park is having, you know, 4 or 5 times spent on it, $800 million is $800 million. And when you look at the result there,
yeah,
I think
there's something wrong there.
We could – $800 million could have gone a little bit further.
No, it seems like it's a flawed park. It isn't – like you say, it isn't so much the lack of money as much as it is. It's just – because there are many, many – there are many, many parks out there that do okay with a much smaller –
right.
Investment.
And I would imagine 3 bags full cost $5 or $6 million alone, and that only lasted like a month.
Like, you know, the pavement can only be so fancy to the point where you don't really care. So it's just kind of funny. Because you hear about them talk about, you know, like where the money went. It's just like, you know.
The titanium icon.
They seem to focus on a lot of really random things.
Heliostats.
And I think it's funny that, you know, you look at, if you listen to Walt Disney World guests that visit DCA, they were not displeased with the park as much as the Disneyland guests were, because they understood we're going to start here and then grow. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even with all this placemaking stuff, they're not really changing the park. They're not saying, you know, they might say, we need a little bit more detail here. We should go add this. We should have done this to begin with. They do that in every park. And right. I think just because the focus was on DCA, its challenges seem more amplified. Disney MGM Studios, which I think a much more of a disaster of a park.
Well, do you think that to some extent, though, it suffers from just kind of being in the entertainment capital backyard? I mean, in some ways, because you've got...
It suffers from the fact that you have your 80% of your base is, you know, local. And that because they're expecting another Disneyland, they go just for the day, so it's not an add-on to the experience. It's either... I mean, at the time, it was an either-or thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got Disneyland, which you take Magic Kingdom, any other park in the world, Disneyland is still going to be Disneyland.
Right.
And nobody, when you say Disneyland, not very far from Disneyland, Epcot, they're always going to take Disneyland because it's Disneyland. Just like the Magic Kingdom, people take over. I mean, even though it's perhaps one of the more bland theme parks in the world, it's still the Magic Kingdom.
Hey,
I like the Magic Kingdom.
Watch your mouth. Stitch. The combo of Stitch and Monsters, Inc.
Oh,
left to right there.
Oh, stop. Leave poor Tomorrowland alone. It suffers in the kingdoms right now as it is everywhere.
There's nothing wrong with Tomorrowland here.
Huh?
There's nothing wrong with Tomorrowland here.
Okay. I need Speedway. That needs some...
I rode that for the first time yesterday.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That's
cool.
Demon.
I think I won.
You started for it. That's not fair.
It was so cool, the special touch that they add for a couple or for somebody celebrating their birthday.
Yeah.
That's so cool. They have like a big placard that they're able to attach to the back of your car, so as you drive around, it tells everybody that it's your birthday or that you just got married. It's
Speaking
very cute.
Of that, did you hear about the new thing they're doing at Monsters, Inc.?
No, what?
They have stickers that they give to that guy. So if you're selected as that guy, you get to wear a sticker that says, I was that guy at Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
Oh, that's cool, because awesome. That guy has to suffer so much during that performance.
That guy. And Ross is now a ventriloquist, which is the really cool part.
I don't think that was supposed to happen.
Oh.
At our show, Roz kept talking, but she didn't. Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty much it was like, there's some funny issues with how that works. It's like, I've seen Turtle Talk, and I've never really seen as many weird
glitchy things
as much as Monsters.
Well, it's very complicated. There's like two people. Anyway.
I just saw Muppet Mobile Lab at Epcot. It's amazing how much that thing does without breaking down. I mean, Beaker suddenly transfers to Dr. Benson Honeydew. There's fireworks. There's
cool.
It's on a Segway kind of thingy. It has spinning little signs. That's in bubbles. That's an amazing piece of work.
We'll see what happens when you give the Muppets a little money and some free reign.
Yay, Muppets.
Maybe they should take over WDI. There's always talk about how, you know, creative people should be in charge of creative divisions.
Muppets. Rizzo? He could say, welcome to my park, and it really has a meaning there.
And I hear that Sam the Eagle is working on a new exhibit for the American Gardens, American Adventure Gallery.
National Treasure?
Yeah. Not to be confused with
the movie no.
that his cousin's working on.
The paperwork from Rosa Parks' arrest is going to be part of that exhibit. I just read that the other day in the paper.
Yeah.
I thought and apparently it was just some random guy walked up to her attorney like years after it happened and said, you know, this guy just walks up to him and says, I believe these belong to you, gave them to him, and said something like, you know, I found them in the garbage or something. I mean, in essence, they were in the garbage at the police station years later, and this guy decided that maybe somebody should save them, and he gave them to the guy and walked away. The guy had no idea, you know, what it was at first, opened it up, and there was her, you know, print records.
That's cool. I think that's really appropriate addition to the American Adventure.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, I'm really looking forward. I think they said September 28th or, you know, right near the end of the month is when it's expected to open. I figure it'll be, you know, as they get ready for their October 1st, whatever they're going to do. They always do something.
Yes. Our next topic today is one that was brought up by our own Rebecca Mosley, so I'll let her introduce it.
Oh, I confess that I have a flattened beer can that was the last Guinness beer served at Neon Cactus at the Disneyland Hotel years ago. And so I asked people, well, since I decided to fess up, what, you know, kind of weird things do you guys have hiding around your house from Disney? Pirate Princess said that Grandma has a cardboard tube from Walt Disney World, and inside of it is a glass bottle of Coke. And on the outside are characters, along with the Walt Disney World logo and the Coca-Cola logo. She doesn't really know where they came from, but Grandma has them both, and apparently she would like them.
That reminds me of one of my weird ones. We have a Bible, and sometimes we're flipping through it, and then there's some confetti from Pocahontas. Whatever that was called, the Pocahontas stage show at Disneyland back in.
The spirit of Pocahontas.
It's not from that. What's it from, Hunchback?
No, it's from here.
From what here?
Pocahontas and her forest friends.
We have it from here? Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I just assumed it was California.
No, I picked it up because we were here on vacation, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to take back to our buddy Mark and Jim.
Right.
And I brought some back, and I kept one for us. But, yeah, that's where that's from. Because it was so nice to see it again. Because one of the neat things about that show, they dropped these huge confetti leaves and stuff in beautiful colors, and it would just kind of float all over the crowd and the stage at the end of the show. It was beautiful. Well, some of the guys would gather them up and then take them over to the piano on Main Street where Rod Miller would play and sprinkle them all over the keys. And when he'd come back from break, there'd be the piano would be covered with the Pocahontas leaves, and I just thought that was so nice.
Two of the responses we got on the boards that I enjoyed were Trekkerus. How would you pronounce that, Rebecca?
Trekker USS is how I would pronounce that.
Oh, because you do have one of those things in your closet, so
Shut
you
up.
Understand.
Shut up.
What would that be called that's in your closet?
It would be called a Starfleet uniform.
Yeah. Okay.
leave me alone.
Which one?
It's red. And so.
What's your rank?
I was an admiral in my fleet of the my ship was the USS Undaunted. Okay, I told you to leave me alone. You're going to bring it up, fine. I'm going to say. I was an admiral. My ship was the USS Undaunted. Oh. And I
had
nothing better
ensign.
To do in college, so there.
I salute you.
Oh, and it was really cool for the end of the semester. I bought a giant chocolate chip cookie for the crew. It was a group of about 20 of us. And we cut it in a Tholian web pattern. And then
Tholian, that's my favorite one.
And then my dad called in on the payphone there in the rec room. And as a Starfleet message to the troops. It was very cute.
Rebecca?
Yes?
You will always be my friend.
Hey, I was in a small town of 1,100 people, 2.5 hours from the nearest large city. Yeah, I did do something.
Even with 1,100 people, the good of the many outweighs the good of the few.
Okay.
Of the one.
Okay, let's move back to Disney.
Come!
Okay. Trekker USS.
But I could be so wrong, but that's how I would
That makes said. Sense. They have an old Disneyland locker token. I think that's pretty cool, especially since they don't even use tokens anymore. So that's cool.
Wow.
And then Snow White apple. Wait.
No.
Everyone's
don't.
Got one of those.
No, you don't.
Nice juicy apple.
You do not. You would never violate the.
I do not have one. I took from the attraction.
Oh, okay.
We've got one. I was given it by a maintenance worker or something.
Wait, that's what that is?
Yeah.
all these years, I've been wondering what that stupid apple was. Sitting, I have it on display somewhere, and I'm like, I guess my husband just liked this weird little apple thing.
No, it's from the ride.
Are you serious?
As far as I know, that's what I was told.
So some dude just ran.
No, a maintenance worker.
Gave you the apple.
Yeah, someone aww. I knew who worked there.
They have like hundreds of those backstage because users will.
I had no idea that's what that was. I almost threw it away. You really should, you know, let me know.
I mean, I have stuff from attractions. I never take it. They just fall apart on me. But you just go ahead and say what you're just reading.
Oh, wait, hang on. Before you read that, my favorite. Well, no, go ahead. And then I'll tell my favorite. And you'll tell me if I already shared
it. My favorite person in the world, D-Land Doug.
Yay, D-Land Doug.
Has what really may be the weirdest souvenir. Bath mat from 1955 from Disneyland.
Why would they have bath mats?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's from Disneyland or it was...
Hopefully at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, or just like licensed merchandise. I don't know, but it's from 1955 with early Disneyland graphics, and it's a bath mat. Very strange. Anyway, what do you got, Captain?
Well, when I first saw the Under New Management Tiki Room show, Iago's feathers fell on me, and so I have feathers.
From Iago?
Yeah, from Iago. And various Tiki Room performances, feathers would always drop on my head, so I'd always just keep them. So I have a various collection of Tiki Room feathers.
Have we shared the Mark Borelli 2,000 Leagues?
Thank you,
Cynthia Harris. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea story?
I don't know. Have you shared it with me?
Yeah, you know. He was watching one day. It was like, you know how he was a writer for the website for a little while. But he used to just kind of hang around the park for hours and hours on end, and especially late, like as the park would close. And so he got to know a lot of the maintenance guys and whatever really well. And one day when they were getting ready to shut down the attraction, or they were doing maintenance or refurbishment or something, and they were carrying some of the big fish out in large garbage bags, and I guess they were getting ready to just toss them away because they were going to replace them because these were in such bad repair. And he asked if he could have one, and they said, yeah, if you don't mind carrying it. So this guy ended up with one of the big fish for the attraction. This was before you could buy that, before Disney realized they could sell that stuff on eBay.
That reminds me of the Bruce and David shows, Bruce Gordon and David Mumford.
Hey, so one of the posters mentioned it.
At NFFC, where they would give away, they would just literally toss into the crowd
literally
stuff from whatever recently closed. Like, I know they did dirt from Autopia, and did they do leaves from what's the thing called?
Swiss Family Treehouse.
No, what's the real Latin name for it?
Oh, yeah.
Disney's Fakius or something.
Yeah.
It's something like that. But yeah, Schnepp's mentioned.
I talked about the Tiki Room already.
Okay.
Not to mention, the shiny floor from the Matterhorn. One time I went to one of the vehicles and there was actually it wasn't stuck to the floor, so I got out and my shoes were covered in metallic powder, and so I took a souvenir home without realizing it.
speaking of, I have a basketball from the Matterhorn.
I have a Vladi Diva. There's a famous picture of Vladi Diva. He was a center for the Lakers.
Okay.
Taking a shot in the Matterhorn. Apparently not that famous.
Every time I go in the Haunted Mansion, I pick up a ghost.
Oh, so you have a collection of ghosts.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
He follows you home. He opens the door. Ah! And he goes back home. Do you have any strange collectibles? Do you collect anything?
Not really. I accumulate garbage, though. I have spikes from the Disneyland and Walt Disney World Railroad. Mainly because I didn't really want to take it because it was all, like, nasty and dirty.
Right.
But the guy offering it was like, no, you really want this? I'm like, okay. So if anybody wants a spike from the Walt Disney World Railroad.
Oh, I bet there are plenty of people who do.
We have a friend.
Fanboy. I don't have that. That doesn't work. I don't know. Email Doobie.
Podcast it last
time. Podcast it last time.
We have a couple of the survey markers from around Disneyland, which, believe me, they're a real pain to get out. You get down there, you get a spoon, you start hammer and chisel, the security comes around.
That is not how we got those.
That's not how we got them, but they're very cool. They're just duplicates, I guess, of the survey markers.
Yeah, made into nice paperweights with felt on the back.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
and it's cool because I think we have one that looks just like the one that was the center of Disneyland.
Shut up.
Oh, and then the other thing, the other odd Disney item we have as far as collectibles go is the sign that tells you that Stromboli's is closed.
That is my favorite collectible. We were given that by the cast of Stromboli's, where we ate at.
Yeah, 14,000 times. It was final night, and it says, you know, sorry, we're closed. Please be sure to join us tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And so I mentioned, I said, hey, it says to join you guys, and, you know, you guys aren't going to be here. So I don't think you need it anymore. And they said, okay. So they gave us that, and then they gave us... they used to stamp on your table because you had paper tablecloths, and they used to stamp on your table. It was a picture of Stromboli, and it said something like, Stromboli's is happy to welcome, and then it had a blank, and you would fill in the family name. They gave us one of those, and the most weird thing that they gave us was, do you remember, Juby? The
no.
laminated seating chart that they used
yeah.
for at the yeah. At the front desk.
We still use that on big party.
I've actually
party
got
exactly.
one of those Mickey heads.
Oh,
that's right.
Mickey Brains.
Mickey Brains,
yeah. I miss Mickey Brains.
And we'll close this with Ursula. Ursula from the discussion board, who says she has fake snow from one of the Disneyland
shindigs.
Fake
huh?
snow.
Wait, what? Like the, not the soapy stuff.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That doesn't last
very
long.
You have a jar of soap?
You know what I keep finding everywhere? Pixie dust. Everywhere. I get so much of it just...
Light
balls
magic
on my
confetti.
Body.
I have that too.
Light magic confetti.
The Mylar.
We moved here.
Yeah.
And it was like years later. I mean, dude, that thing closed how many years ago?
14.
And I opened up some backpack or
give
something.
Or
yeah, like 10 years.
10.
10.
Give or take.
I opened up a backpack and Pixie, that's confetti from that parade.
Did it actually close or is it still on hiatus?
No, it closed after the depreciation was fully realized.
So you had the shiny stuff before they had to get rid of it because people were like choking on it?
Yeah, the Mylar. I have the Mylar confetti. I didn't save it, but I found some in a backpack like a long time later.
What's the statute of limitations on having stuff you're not supposed to?
I think just 7 years.
Okay. We should do this again in like 6 years.
No one knows who you are, fanboy. You're safe.
They wouldn't know if I told you where I got some of this stuff.
Touche. Captain.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Do you have something for us?
Do I have something for you? Well, I have something for the listeners.
Okay, well, what about last week?
What about last week?
Last week was hard.
Yes, last week was a kind of fascinating question. I asked the connection between Orbitz Gum and Pirates of the Caribbean. Anybody here have any?
Well, yeah, because I read that.
You read it.
Yeah, we read it.
Yes, okay. So
we'll fess up. We didn't know beforehand. We didn't Google.
The winner.
Did you make that joke in person or did you do it on the podcast?
What joke?
That the movie lasts longer.
I was on the podcast.
Okay. That was funny.
At any rate, Retlaw fan was the winner this time.
Yay.
Yay for the new winner. Retlaw fan. I think we know him.
Retlaw fan? It's Walter spelled backwards. Maybe he's from the Mirror Mirror universe.
Actually, it's Nanf Walter spelled backwards.
Oh, and that's a good point. Naff was my favorite, Walter.
No, but the connection is that...
I wonder what Walter he's a fan of.
That's a good question.
I'm joking.
Lance?
Maybe.
Not?
Could be.
Cronkite.
Oh, very good. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Go All ahead, right, Kat.
Anyway, in Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, when Jack Sparrow goes to Tortuga, there are the two, you know, there's Scarlet and Giselle. Giselle being... Vanessa Branch, who is the Dirty Mouth chick from the Orbitz Gum commercials.
Very cool question.
So the
very
blonde
good
one.
Question. Very, very good. I had no idea. Cool. I actually might go
Walter
to
Walter Koenig.
Koenig.
Put away Wikipedia. Put away Wikipedia.
Step away from the Wikipedia.
Walter Payton.
We're done guessing what Walter fan is a fan.
There's
of.
One more here. Walter Elias
killed
Disney.
We're kicking the horse now.
Oh, that could be it.
Or Walter Mondale.
I'm still
That's
for Cronkite.
That's a tough choice.
Still for Cronkite.
You're voting for Cronkite? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
I also wanted to commend DL Theo, who I believe is a past winner, who says he started to listen to the podcast when it came out, but decided he didn't have the time to hear the whole thing, and he wanted to wait and listen with his wife.
Aww.
So he opted out of the trivia.
Aww.
Is that sweet?
That's so
or
sweet.
Or it's like, you know, like some diabolique thing going on. Where he's trying to punish his wife by making her listen to this
podcast.
Podcast.
Oh, there's a good point there.
Well, that means there may be a couple listening to our voices.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's a way to kill him.
Yeah, dude.
That's nice, though. That was very thoughtful.
All right. Anyway.
It's nice we have thoughtful listeners.
We do.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and Utah Josh didn't cheat this time, so that's
really?
Pretty thoughtful, too.
Oh, bravo, Josh.
Or, wait, was it Utah or Utah?
actually, no, he's from Utah. He
yeah.
posts that.
He said, yes, I'm actually am from Utah, but he's also lived in Florida and Spain, so I think we're going to call him
Wow.
This week he's Barcelona Josh.
Yes.
Oh, is that what we're going to do?
Yeah,
I'm
sorry, I've decided. So Barcelona Josh.
You know, that's funny because we should have built the park there.
That's what Jim Cora said at the NFFC a few years back.
Anyway, what do you got for the people?
Well, earlier we were talking about Tokyo Disney Sea, and
Hooray!
I want you to tell me the name of the volcano.
Volcano!
Mark's icon. No, this
volcano!
Is not. This is not, okay. This is not for the people around the table. This
when people ride that, do everybody walk around the park? Volcano! Like Rainforest?
I hope so. You know, here's a.
Oh, I want to go to Rainforest.
If you
is
go
it
ride.
Mount St. Helens?
No.
Okay.
Every time I see a volcano now, I think if I hit the top of it, I'm going to get 100,000 points because it's like the top point
Let's
thing.
Let's go to Rainforest
later.
Cafe after we're done. That sounds good.
Now you're talking, woman. And it's a good
okay,
thing you're
so it's been great
food.
Joining us this week on the Laughing Place podcast.
Well, that's interesting because our next topic happens to be a food topic.
And we've done a 180 on Rainforest Cafe, haven't we?
Oh, we so have. What
we
did
were
it
like,
for us?
I think eating there twice in a week.
Yeah, it's you know the food is good. I don't like the atmosphere, to be honest, but the food is good.
You don't like the fact that all the tables are two tops, and if you have a party of four, they just put two together.
Right. That's annoying. But
that's smart.
But the other thing, I think it's because we got seated twice in an area where the noise level of the rainforest and the monkeys and the elephants and stuff, it wasn't as intense.
Whoa, I felt like it
so
was there.
So we were able to, you know, enjoy it a little
yeah,
bit more.
It definitely
but
makes a difference.
You wanted
I don't know.
Us.
I sort of like the noise and the... and stuff of that place.
Oh, and the peanut butter pie is so good.
It's so good yet disgusting.
Yeah.
It has a romance of negative one, though. But
yeah,
anyway,
I have to say, that's
our,
for sure.
One of our friends asked us a couple of days ago for a suggestion for where to have a nice meal at Epcot. Now, there's a million
yes,
places
they did.
To eat at Epcot and the surrounding area. We won't
one for each stream.
We won't limit it to Epcot proper, but also maybe the Boardwalk, Yacht Beach, whatever's in walking distance from the International Gateway. So... let's just go around the table and get a couple, one or two favorite Epcot restaurants. Sandboy, you're chomping at the bit.
I got a great value.
Yeah.
Club Cool.
Great value. You got that
There's
right.
No food there.
It tastes like what? Tastes like food. They got that watermelon.
Or get
it's
the vegetable.
Free.
Get the vegetable soda.
It's
no, they don't have
free.
That anymore, do they? Do they still have the Vegeta Beta
but,
soda?
Oh,
I don't think so.
Don't drink the Beverly.
No, you have that as a aperitif.
Touché.
Fanboy, any real answer? What do you eat a lot? What do you like it? What's your favorite of the Epcot or surrounding area sit-down restaurants? What do you recommend to people?
Well, does that include MGM? Because you just
no.
walk.
No.
Oh,
we're trying to stay with the Epcot proper right now.
Atlantic Dance.
No. Honestly, I don't really. Flying Fish is good, and Spoodles is good.
We still haven't eaten at Flying Fish. That's on our list to do.
But if you want to think like actual Epcot, because like, those just seem like nice restaurants that just happen to be at Disney World. But if you want a truly Disney experience,
yes,
I would have to say, I got Beer Garden is actually kind of fun. I think it's you don't.
That's another one we haven't.
Why have you never invited us there? If it's that
how
good,
come you've never gone.
You've never even
there
been.
Because I don't.
How come you don't suggest? Hey, Doobie, Rebecca, let's talk about the Beer Garden. What's up
nice,
with that?
How come?
There's so many restaurants, so little time. We just went to Liberty Tree Tavern for the first time. It's not like... But I like that one.
Before.
I'm trying to think. You know, Epcot, for being a place... Nine Dragons gets a bad rap.
And we know why.
That unofficial guide. It used to be terrible, I will admit.
Yes.
But I think they really have fixed up the place. They're going to have a major rehab with a show kitchen and everything. So I think maybe... I hope everyone's willing to give it another chance.
I think the hard part with that is every town in America has a Chinese restaurant. And so I think, therefore, that's going to struggle with the resort prices.
Did I tell you what happened? I'm from the Bay Area. And so the Chinese restaurants in the Bay Area are all run by Chinese people. I went to Iowa for business. And I went to a Chinese restaurant. And it wasn't run by Chinese people. It was like just like you go to an Italian restaurant. It's not run by Italian people. It's just run by Americans that are serving Italian food. That is so bizarre. They don't play the little music. And they don't have the little...
Whoa. What do you take your takeout in?
Oh, no, that's...
Okay.
That was the newest amendment to the Constitution, wasn't it?
Don't scare me.
The placemat, did it have the...
No, it didn't have the Zodiac.
Oh, nope, that's not
and,
a
and,
no,
and,
Chinese.
And they actually give you a fork. You don't have to ask for it.
Oh.
I know.
Nope.
Yeah, you Iowans need to go to Epcot and go have some real Chinese food.
That's very funny.
Don't go to the quick service one, though.
I like the quick service one.
I don't know. Like the last time I got like an orange chicken bowl, it was pretty much like glorified chicken McNuggets with soy sauce.
That's what I wanted.
They have new they have new video menus now though there at the Lotus Blossom
it's
Cafe.
Fancy, but doesn't mean who's any good.
Roast and Crown for being, you know, nasty British food is actually a lot of fun.
Hey, hey.
Well, no one's ever I'm in the mood for British food. I want some tea and crumpets.
Apologies to the British listeners.
Beer and bangers. Right?
How many British restaurants are there in across the country?
It's known for being bland.
Yeah,
but the service is actually quite good, and it's a nice place. It's a great atmosphere. You got Pam Brody there on the pianos, tickling the ivories, and
thought it was Brody.
The musical styling.
I thought it was Pam Brody.
Yeah. He said Brody.
Oh, you said Brody. The musical stylings of Pam Brody.
Okay, yeah. So wait. Let's just go around the World Showcase, okay? So we've talked about England. So let's go to France.
Canada.
Chefs de France.
Whoops.
Downstairs.
Because we started at England, so Chefs de France is next.
Downstairs, great cafe.
Yeah, it is. You have to be prepared for French food, which is heavy. It doesn't look like it should be heavy, but it is. It's so heavy. Because I think they cook with a lot of oil there.
Bistro de Paris, though, upstairs.
That's
quite
phenomenal.
Yummy.
Now that's some real French food. I mean, you can't even pronounce the stuff.
No. And we booked a reservation. And one of the best things we ever did, we booked a reservation shortly before Illuminations started.
Yeah.
So we were upstairs. There's the window. I mean, it's not like it has tremendous viewing of it, but you can kind of see it through the windows. But then our meal didn't finish till everybody had exited the park. I mean, I think we were the only three people left in the park.
We were the last people to walk out the park.
Oh, yeah,
it was
beautiful. Because the fountain was on, and I asked the security guard, how long does the fountain stay on? And he said, until you're clear of the park.
Oh, that was a magical moment. They should give away that dream.
I remember we walked out the gate. He closed the gate behind us and talked on his radio and said, you know, it's all clear or whatever. And that was cool.
It finally left.
I know.
And we didn't have a wristband.
And then, okay, so then you go from France, you're in Morocco, which is Marrakesh. But that's just a chain. I mean, there's Marrakesh in
Really?
Yeah. My memory of that is that
I've
you guys...
I've never eaten there.
That is easily my least favorite
really hates
restaurant at Epcot.
I like it. I don't mind.
I keep wanting to go and try it, because especially...
You haven't been there?
No, because they keep offering discounts every once in a while for, annual pass holders and stuff. And I want to go try it, just so I can try it, even if I'm not going in expecting...
Yeah.
But I've never been in there. I don't want to see the belly dancer.
Right. Do you like it, Catherine?
That was my thing, but...
I liked it. I mean, it wasn't so, spectacular, perhaps, but... Yeah.
It's Moroccan food.
Bad about it.
So what comes next?
The setting is cool. Like,
well,
the whole
next would
building
be your teppanyaki.
We've eaten at the teppanyaki. We did the Benihana upstairs.
But that's all changing. I mean,
we'll have to make a decision. So then you go next is the American.
Oh, Liberty Tree.
Okay, America.
No, but they don't have table seats.
They got rid of the root beer floats, though. Can I just say the travesty that
serious?
Is? Yes.
Oh,
wow, that's sad.
That's as American as apple pie.
Yeah, they solved that. Actually, that's cobbler, but.
So next is Italy.
Once again, that's all
changing. Which is the turkey leg,
transitioning. So. It's in the midst of a transition. And when we went, you said you kind of missed the fact that the Italian head waiter wouldn't yell at people like it used to happen.
Yeah, that was cool. But it's in the middle of transition. But still, you got to say, Alfredo's was an awesome restaurant.
Well, and I think it will be. I think the fresh pasta makes all the difference. And I don't see them getting rid of it. I don't know if they will.
It is amazing that fresh pasta, 12 pounds of butter, and some cheese can taste that good.
Have you ever looked at their fettuccine Alfredo recipe? It's like got four ingredients.
I was too afraid to look at it.
Oh, man. And we've never been to the stuff in Germany, so we can't speak to it. We already mentioned China.
Jimmy, try the potato salad.
We already mentioned China.
At Beer Garden?
Yeah. And the show's not bad either.
And then...
What exactly is the entertainment at Beer Garden?
Like Oompa stuff. They got a guy that plays with bells and the Ricola guys.
Do they have German beer girls or is it all guys?
What's that?
Do they have any German beer girls or is it all guys?
No, they're girls.
Okay.
Are they bosomy girls?
No, they're just regular cast member girls.
Do they have pigtails?
Some of them.
That's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing a German girl holding two steins of beer with pigtails.
No, okay.
Are you picturing the Stoli girl?
I don't know. That's my picture.
Boom, 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 boom.
What's that?
I hear if you start coughing.
Ricola.
Is Mexico?
I think that's Switzerland, by the way, Ricola.
Yeah, but they still have them there.
I'm sure, but it's just funny.
It is Switzerland.
Norway?
Norway. We enjoyed Norway when we went.
Norway is great. You got princesses. You got all-you-can-eat cold food.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you need?
They have the cold bar, right? It's like cheeses and various fishes that you can eat.
Don't show that to Ariel.
And then they bring you out a hot plate, right?
Is it one hot plate now? Because it used to be all you can eat hot plate.
The last time we went, it was one hot plate, but all you could eat cold food. But who knows?
Yeah.
But that's all about the Princess. That is the hardest restaurant to get into in Epcot, isn't it?
It's also the hardest name.
I don't know, Sillier. Yeah. That's pretty tough.
That's a good thing.
But the food in Norway is good. That's worth a visit.
And then next is Mexico.
Which Mexico. I think is a little bit underrated and forgotten.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's got a great atmosphere. I mean, for anything else.
The atmosphere is great, and I found the food to be phenomenal. I mean, the past few times we've been, I thought the food was just really, really good.
And the quick service restaurant there is not shabby either. Yeah.
I haven't eaten at the Cantina.
The punch is really good. The frozen punch they have there.
Juby likes the frozen punch. Yeah. I forget what it's called. It has some fun name.
Jamba Juice?
No, but something like that. Yeah. And then finish off with
Le Cellier. Maybe the best restaurant in the World Showcase.
I think it is.
Very small, very hard to get into as a result of being small and popular and good.
It used to be a cafeteria, and it was funny because they changed into full service, and we got to eat there as people, like, the word hadn't gone out yet, and it was very good. Unfortunately, the word got out, and now it's just, especially with dining plan and everything.
Yeah.
Not that I'm against the dining plan. I love the dining plan. It's sad because I'd like to eat there more. But luckily you can get the cheddar cheese soup at Food and Wine.
I did find if you go to them on Labor Day right after a hurricane when only two parks are open, you can just walk in and get a table.
We did that right after Ivan.
Yeah, I think I was there for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we all went to...
Keep that in mind. All right, so we shouldn't stop there. We got...
Garden Grill
at the LAN. Which is that character for dinner?
It's all you care to eat. Yeah. With Chip and Dale and Mickey.
And it's family style. They bring you the food.
That's nice. I like all you care to eat where they bring you food. That works out really well.
And you get a nice view of the land.
Mm-hmm. It's a revolving restaurant, and you journey over the Living with the Land boat ride.
Yes.
And it's nice.
I know the Living with the Land, they no longer have a skipper. It's automatic. Is the revolving automatic now, too, or do they still have the people down there rowing the wheel and everything?
Silly boy.
Just checking.
That's why we can't afford to have good shows.
That's funny. And then the last one is Coral Reef.
Coral Reef at the Living Sea.
Also got a bad rap in the early days.
Did it really?
No, it did not get a bad rap in the early days. It's somebody who ate there.
No, I mean, it was bad. It took a while for it to... change its
yes
that did it.
Unfortunately it
buzz.
Wasn't able to clean up its image outside once it had changed internally,
but the nice thing about that restaurant is your view is a view of the Living Seas and aquarium and the fishies and friends. Stuff and you get to pick what you want to eat, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I want that bit. No,
doesn't work that way anymore.
No. That's how I ended up eating a scuba Mickey. <very often.
laughs> It's got kind of a gamey taste.
What is gamey?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Gamey, it sort of tastes like dirt, I think is the term for gamey. It sort of tastes earthy.
I see why they use gamey then.
Hey, the next time we talk about the menus, we should make sure that we have, like, favorite items from the restaurants. I think that'd make it more fun.
Well, to really give that accurately, we may need to visit them all and do some sampling.
That's a business expense, right?
Oh, easily, for Rebecca and I.
Hey.
Oh, whatever. We take you guys out to dinner.
All right, well... Thank you to our friend who
asked
about...
Although we usually take you to Olive Garden. We've got all these wonderful restaurants on property. But
because of that stupid dining plan. That's the 192.
Hey, we ate at Spoodles the other night after an hour and a half wait. By the way, a tip we learned. If it's raining, restaurants at the boardwalk may end up with longer wait times because people don't want to leave. And I guess this probably happens in other places too, but it wasn't anything we'd encountered before. So we saw people who had dining reservations being sat much later than their reservation time, and we ended up, our wait was 45 minutes to an hour. We didn't have a reservation, and that was within the quoted time, but they had warned us that their tables weren't turning as fast because of the rain, people didn't want to go.
Speaking of Boardwalk, the Big Water...
Big River,
yeah,
Grill.
Big River Grill. Big River
Grill. And they're serving their food over at the Atlantic Dance Hall.
Yep. And still doing the entertainment over there, from what I read.
Really?
Yeah, from 9 to 2, Atlantic Dance Hall. It's still entertainment, but I think dinner goes till 10, so...
Atlantic Dance Hall, if you've ever been inside for not a private function, but just actually to experience that product, email us.
Disney sends us the calendar of events every week, and every week I'm just shocked to see that place is open 5 days a week, 9 to 2 with the DJ. no one I know goes there.
Like, Jelly Roll's got a cult following. I mean, yeah.
Totally.
But Atlantic Dance Hall, I mean, because I'd be there for a special event and then just sort of hang out.
Totally.
And it would just be me and the DJ just sort of shooting the breeze.
Yeah, we went there one time, I think, during our honeymoon.
Yes, we did. We
and
stopped
that was
by
much,
the
much closer to when it opened. And there's just nobody
but
in
that
there.
Was back when it was a live swing band, too.
Yeah, it was cool, but
now
there was no one there.
I don't think they have that anymore.
It's a DJ.
I think
I
now
hope
it's just
not,
a DJ, yeah.
Wow. Yet they keep opening it. That's the thing that amazes me.
I guess
maybe we should
all those Pirate
go,
Princess
maybe we
DJs
go again.
Need to do something.
We
about
should
to do
we
another
make
road
a
trip.
Point of checking that
head
out.
Over there. Check that out again. That'd be fun.
All right. Well, with that, we're all getting hungry, so we're going to begin to bring this to a close. As always, we will traverse counterclockwise among the gathered panel, and I don't really know which way counterclockwise is, so let's just start with Fanboy.
Now that is
across.
That's completely wrong.
Well, Disney has a big battle, as you know, going on right now. Between Disney and Ebert. Disney has removed the thumbs from At the Movies of Ebert and Roper, not featuring Ebert. And Ebert says that they can use the thumbs, but Disney says Ebert said they couldn't use the thumbs, so there are no thumbs. And I guess who's really upset are all the movies that are coming out, because they can't put two thumbs up on their little commercials. But let's hope that, as I said, as Ebert said, I hope me, the thumbs, and the show can be reunited. Hopefully they can reunite his thumbs with him before they need to worry about the show. But we'll see. And have you watched Ebert and Roper lately?
No, because Ebert's never on. It's sitting in for Ebert this week is
Richard
Roper.
Yeah,
then he has this guest.
Right. The way Richard Roper introduces the show, he's like, welcome to the show. That's one of five movies we'll be reviewing this week. I'm Richard Roper, sitting in for Roger Ebert this week. We have A.O. Scott from the New York Times. And you're like, wait, you're part of the show. But anyway, I mean, I know Ebert probably does not come across as the most genteel individual. So he makes that guy in Ratatouille look personable. But I hope Anton Ego.
I never thought of Ebert as anything. He looks like a big, really poly fun guy.
He doesn't.
No. I don't think so. No. He doesn't give the warm fuzzies.
Really?
No.
Maybe it's just I can relate.
Yeah, because you used to date Oprah Winfrey as well. But it's sad that we can't have two thumbs up. Hopefully that will be resolved in short order. But
they can pick a different finger.
Yeah, what are they using in the
index
meantime?
Index fingers up.
Just, I like the movie. Or
seriously?
Yeah.
So the
which
marquee
is funny because they just announced this like website where you can review all the things and there's nothing on there because they can't post it because they can't figure out which way the thumbs are supposed to be. Or they can, but they can't use them.
Are they still using them on that website for the old movie reviews?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess the thumbs are grandfathered in. Their old thumbs are acceptable. You just can't have new thumbs.
That may be the strangest story of the year so far.
It's pretty weird.
Rebecca Mosley.
We got the press release for the upcoming DVD release of Ratatouille, and it had the cover art. And I found it interesting that the Ratatouille DVD cover features Linguini, very large, front and center, Colette on the left side, and I know one other chef, I think it was the little guy, but I can't remember for sure if it was or not, kind of off in the distance. And then teeny tiny above the big Ratatouille, label is Remy. And I just found it very interesting that the DVD does not feature a big, huge rat.
Speaking of Pixar characters, Owen Wilson voiced Lightning McQueen in Cars.
Yeah.
And there was talk about the Cars sequel. He's hospitalized and they say he has some personal issues he needs to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that will delay Cars 2. Granted, it's animated, so,
right.
If they found someone that sounded like him, as you know, I'm sure that's not, I hate to break it to you, it's not always Tom Hanks doing Woody's voice in those cheesy Disneyland parades. It's actually his brother. But I wonder if that, they'll decide to retire that character from, legitimate product, or if they'll still go forward with the sequel, or if he'll hopefully
right.
get through what he has to get through.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought as far as the impact that'll have on, and most Disney fans probably don't even realize when they see that splashed all over TMZ and the, Insider or whatever, that can impact Disney product.
Yeah, all I thought about was Shanghai Nights.
Yeah.
Oh, that was him too?
wasn't it?
Yeah, he went with Jackie Chan.
I don't know.
I can never keep him and his brother straight. It was Rush Hour with what? The white guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I confuse him and his brother all the time.
Luke Wilson? Mm-hmm.
They were both in Around the World in 80 Days, also featuring Jackie Chan. Okay. They played Orville and, not Orville Redenbacher, Orville and Wilbur Wright.
Who invented the Eiffel Tower.
Ta-da!
And played that guy.
That guy.
CJWYG.
What?
What you got?
What do I have? Pirates 3 DVD cover art has been released.
Is Ratatouille really small on that, too? I'm sorry. Is Remy really small? That'll never happen.
You know, Everest is actually the mountain behind it. I've got a question. Yeah. How many DVDs does it take?
One, and then there's a bonus disc, which you'll have to look for me on.
Which is called The Rest of the Movie.
Oh, that's right. The captain might be on there.
I may appear on it.
Oh, remember they filmed him at that wonderful event he attended.
That's cool.
So my name may appear. A picture of me may appear. I don't know.
I hope so. Oh, that would be so cool.
Well, we have to get that. Put that up on
the
website.
Because you got that large idol of
I got the talking idol.
Do you have that? Do you like bird incense in front of it all the time? Dude.
Anything else?
I had something, but then I lost it, so obviously it wasn't important enough.
I know what Doobie's big news is.
What is your big news?
What?
I thought you were going to talk about Witch Mountain. You've been talking about it like all day.
Witch Mountain? No.
Dude, you know, I hurt my arm climbing up to Witch Mountain.
Wow. Last weekend we saw Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, that's right.
My first time seeing Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And
I
think
saw the extended edition.
I think I have found out what lasts longer than Ricola and Pirates 3 put together. The roadshow version of Portobello Road.
Portobello Road.
That was very long.
It is.
And you know what? That's not a very good movie.
No. And it's not a step in the right direction.
I put off seeing that movie for a long, long time.
Chacuna, McCoyte, Chacorum, Sejusti.
And I made the right decision.
It's
cute. It's not.
It feels like a wannabe Mary Poppins.
That's exactly what it is. And the whole time I kept warning.
I think that's unfortunate for it. I think it's not such a bad movie, but it's compared to Mary Poppins.
I don't mind it also, Ran. I think. And for me, it was not a good movie.
I kept trying to warn David Tomlinson not to be Angela Lansbury's friend.
He survived.
There were no murders to solve.
But I did see Jaws in the background in one scene. They need to edit that properly.
Oh, man.
And then the other big news in 1970s Disney flicks is Escape to Witch Mountain is being remade, as we all know. And they've gotten, what character is he going to be playing?
I don't think they said.
The taxi driver that picks him up.
Yeah. The taxi driver that picks him up, which was played by Robert De Niro in the first one.
Stop.
Yeah, you better watch out, George Bush.
It's got to be played by The Rock. My arm. Who was starring in the upcoming Disney film Game Plan.
Fight the Rebels, feel the heat. I'm allergic to cinnamon.
And, if you haven't seen the trailer, that makes no sense.
And if you have seen the trailer, I'm sorry. But we're looking forward to Game Plan because, it's a Disney movie and we got to see it. And hopefully The Rock can show us some acting chops and then he can...
He was great in The Scorpion King.
I wonder if we'll get to see what injured his arm.
The play?
I think cinnamon cookies.
What?
Never mind.
Bought the apple. So anyway, Escape to Witch Mountain holds a special place in my heart, not because I've seen the movie, because I never have, but because, what's his name? Ike.
It's not that hard. It's Ike.
You know what? The first time you saw him, you tried to remember his name, and you kept coming up with all this weird stuff.
I told you, I said I wasn't sure how to pronounce it because it's spelled odd.
But because of that, it's always going to be weird
to
me.
I'm sorry that you aren't, without
Mike. So Ike, do you know his last name?
Eisenman.
He lives, or at least very recently, lived in Celebration.
He lives in Celebration. He was featured on Good Morning America or the Today Show or one of those morning shows recently because he works with a computer animation company there.
And we'd see him in town all the time, so that makes me think of Escape to Witch Mountain. So is that worth seeing? Should I see Escape to Witch Mountain?
Yes, you should, especially since they're getting ready to remake it because everybody's going to be comparing it.
That's true.
You should
also see the 1995 telefilm.
No.
Oh, I should.
No.
I've only seen the television remake one. I actually haven't seen the original.
You know
haven't seen
I
the original with no. Kim
that's it. That's
and
it.
I? No. Oh, we should
that's
see that.
That's the next retro movie we're
you know
seeing.
What I didn't like was Return of Witch Mountain.
I don't really remember. My dad didn't really want me to watch either one of them, so I kind of remember. I remember seeing like kind of it on when it was on the Disney Channel, like kind of sneaking it, not in like a major sneaking
with the wavy line down the middle.
No, not like that. But
I see a witch.
No. I don't mean like that. I mean like you know he wasn't that keen on me watching it, so you kind of watch it while you're doing something else, so that you don't seem totally engrossed in it. So that way, then you know it's no big deal.
So is Return to Witch Mountain anything like Return to Neverland?
No, it's more like Return to Oz.
I still consider that the scariest movie I ever saw.
Well, yeah, she takes her head off.
That was the scariest movie I was so scared.
I have so much to see.
Oh, and we saw that. I don't know how, but my church used to show that stuff on the big screen in the gymnasium. I don't
bootleg.
Know.
Bootleg.
No, I don't think so, because it was the big reels, and it had the Disney logo on it and everything. There's no bootleg.
Do they show Tron?
No, not Tron.
Black Hole.
No.
Something Wicked This Way Comes?
Mostly it was bad Disney live action.
Okay, excuse me.
I know.
Watcher in the Woods?
No. Oh, please. It was a church function. They're not going to show Watcher in the Woods.
Well, why would they be showing Return to Oz?
Well, then that was, you know, fantasy novel.
What's in the Watcher in the Woods? What's it Watcher in the Woods about?
I thought the Watcher in the Woods was like a witchy movie.
Witchy.
Waskily Webbit.
I thought that was Something Wicked This Way Comes is much more of a witchy movie.
Oh, okay.
Actually, more of a devil movie.
Yeah, no, that is a very devilish movie.
My church showed The Exorcist.
Oh, stop. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else they showed. But Disney, like the Ron Miller era Disney is what I'm thinking.
Boatnik?
That's what all that was.
But really?
Oh, yeah.
Black Hole Tron, and Tron?
Yeah, that's what Tron stood for. Take Ron out now.
Oh, dude, that's just harsh.
Wow.
Yeah, the Condor Man, that was all Ron.
Wow, really?
Michael Eisner was more of the down and out in Beverly Hills. Did they show that in your church?
No.
Ruthless People.
No, I can remember Benji the Hunted. But these are not Disney. No. These are the ones I remember.
Benji the Hunted was Disney.
Princess Bride. And American Tale.
Because there are no cats in America.
I can remember them showing those in the school gymnasium for money. Actually, it was...
You know what I did in the school gymnasium for money?
It was a fundraiser. It was like a fundraiser.
We showed cookies of cinnamon.
It was like, oh, you know what? I don't think they charged for the movie. They just charged for the food. The high schoolers would bake, and then you'd make money that way.
Podcast at laughingplace.com. Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. Post on the discussion boards. Give us your ideas for Disney World or Disneyland after hours, special ticket, special events. Give us a theme. Give us a time of year. Give us a park.
And the price of the tickets.
No, we can figure that out. If you want to, give us a price. $300 tickets.
Whatever.
Anyway, podcast.
Hey, if they want to create anything. That kind of event, if they want to pitch that kind of event to us, that'd be great.
You know, give us the graphic for it. Give us the main graphic for it.
No, I just mean if there's something that you want to do and you're willing to pay $400 for it, tell us. What is it?
And you know what? We know people. We'll get it in front of the right eye.
We should do that, though. We should have a Photoshop... Your own idea contest. That'd be not nice.
Yeah, that works well on a podcast.
No, I mean, like, you post a link after you're done.
It's hard to do that without violating copyright.
That's very tough.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Podcastlinkplace.com, 866-718-9408. And until next time, what do you think, fanboy? What do you give this podcast?
Two thumbs up.
Not anymore.
Touche.